Was A Quiet Place inspired by Signs, It Comes at Night, and War for the Planet of the Apes? Was Ready Player One influenced by Avatar, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Last Starfighter? Is The Hurricane Heist more influenced by Sharknado or Geostorm? These are the kinds of questions my guest co-hosts and I discuss on my podcast, Piecing It Together. Every week, we look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies inspired it, whether it's the story, the character development, tone, or even use of music. Every movie was influenced by something that came before it, and we want to figure out what. Check out Piecing It Together on your favorite podcast app or check us out on piecingpod.com. You can also follow us on social media at piecingpod. Piecing It Together is a part of the All Points West Podcast Network.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel, and we actually try to make sense of them. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
Oh, and hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett and Jason Bowers.
And yes, I forgot to say my name. I'm Les Kirkendall Barrett. I'm exhausted.
It threw me off. I almost called you Les Fitzpatrick.
We haven't spent a lot of time together.
Yeah. Right? But yeah, you guys, I'm so exhausted right now because I was in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and we were actually hit by Hurricane Dorian. Like, I was all up in it, experienced it, lost power for 2 days. What is this with me going to cities that lose power? This is the second place I've been to that has lost power.
You know who that doesn't happen to? I don't.
Jason Bowers.
The 90s super dance group Snap.
Oh, because they got the power.
They've got the power.
Yeah. I got the power.
I got the power. That's
yeah. Right. But yeah, it was like, it was really serious though. And like the light, the power went off in like almost the whole province. Like okay. It was bad. And there was damage and trees fell down and there are people who still don't have power.
Oh.
Beyond the lack of power for you personally, was it scary at all? Did you see or were you part of any damage or...
Well,
did you avoid it?
I witnessed things like the street that I was staying on, this big giant tree like fell in the street. And I'm talking like a tree, not yeah. like a little one. Ooh. And where right. I was staying, the neighbors had their roof fly off.
Oh, geez.
Like not fly off. Oh. It was damaged. Like a chunk of it flew off.
Okay.
Yeah. But, it's like a Wizard of Oz thing going on.
Yeah. So it was... Yeah, so some trees got, like, uprooted, damaged cars. Yeah, it was bad.
Well, we're glad you made it back okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I was trying to shoehorn in my joke. I had a joke before we started recording, and now it's going to be, like, unnatural. But Les was talking about it changed from Category 1 to 2, and I said, I just imagine Les being disappointed there wasn't a montage of different categories.
And get this, you guys. So they had to cancel... They had to cancel because I was there for the Halifax Fringe Festival, and they had to cancel the last 2 days of the festival.
Wow!
But someone graciously offered their backyard because they have like a little stage in their backyard to have like a house show. So me right. and do you know Keith Brown, Kurt?
Yes.
So it was me, Keith Brown. Do you know Charlie Caper?
No.
This guy. He actually, Charlie Caper was the winner of Sweden's Got Talent.
Oh, wow.
What was
yeah.
his talent?
And he does a magic show, but it's a magic robotics show. And he builds his own robots, and he like does all this stuff with Ooh. Wi-Fi. It's like really cool.
He brought his robots to Halifax?
Yeah, like they're little ones.
How
like,
do they okay. deal? Did, how do they work in the with no power and all that rain?
That he didn't. He did something else for that.
Okay.
And then okay. this other lady, Maxine. So these people had us over, and we literally did like a pop-up show, and people paid to see it and stuff. It was really
oh,
cool.
That's good.
And so, in the middle of the pop-up show, the lights went out again. And so literally everybody had like their flashlights and cell phones, and we did the show with flashlights and cell phones. It's really cool.
Wow. And you were outside.
We were outside.
In the rain.
That's really
cool. At this point,
not the rain.
It ended on this is the crazy thing. It literally hit on Saturday and was done by Saturday night. Yeah. Like, it was weird. Like, it was just, like, one-day thing. I don't know why I was expecting it to go on for, like, days and days and days, but it only went on for, like, a day.
Right.
So this was Sunday.
Right.
Were you in it, Kurt? No,
I was in Brigantine, New Jersey, which is near Atlantic City, so I was there on Saturday. Was it Saturday? I guess it was Saturday. And it, like, the remnants of the hurricane hit that area, so it was, like, just a little, some rain, some wind. Wasn't so bad. Did you have to cancel any shows?
Yeah, I was booked to do 7 shows, and I actually got to do 5 of my 7, so I only missed 2 shows.
Okay.
So there were others who were scheduled. Like, they started, like, you know how people come in mid festival sometimes. Yeah. So there were a couple of people who started the second week, and basically they were going to do, like, they did one show, and then they were going to, like, do 2 shows on Saturday, 2 shows on Sunday. They got screwed.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, it was too bad, and it's one of those situations where, you know, you can't blame the – it's like nobody's fault. You can't fight the weather, you know. Yeah. But – other than that, it was pretty fun, but it's good. People kept on, like, they were all shocked when they were like, well, I bet you get really bad hurricanes in California. I'm like, we don't get hurricanes.
No. Mediterranean climate here.
No. Oh.
Like, we don't get them at all.
We get earthquakes.
You get earthquakes once in a while.
And wildfires, mudslides.
And cars.
Carbs.
Smog. No, we don't get carbs. Those aren't allowed in California.
Oh, I think carbs. There's a hot carb alert. Everybody look out for the bread.
That's a natural disaster, carbs. Like bread.
I thought that's what you said, carb.
That is what I said.
Oh, carbs. To watch out for them.
Oh, my God.
So you're all done. All right, Les, this is it? This is it for you for the year?
I am all done. I did 6 festivals. I was trying to do the math. So between May and now, September, I was at home for a total of 7 days the entire time.
6. Wow. Is this the most you've ever done in a year?
Yeah. It's the most I've ever done in a year. And it was, even since I had the unexpected festival, that actually, you know, that added to things. And this is like the longest I've ever been away.
Yeah. I did 7 in 2016. That was a lot.
And how was that? Like, how are you by the 7th one?
Well, then I didn't do it for a couple of years after. So. After that. Well, after doing it for years and years and years and then ending in that year. So, yeah.
Yeah, because by number 6, I was a little salty.
Yeah.
How so? Give me an example.
Salty.
But anyway.
Like, what would you say? How were you salty?
Oh, I was just cranky and just kind of like, I've been living in a suitcase.
Yeah.
Out of a suitcase for 4 months.
I thought you meant with the audience.
It's hard. Yeah. Salty with what?
With the audience.
No, they were good, actually. I was just more salty with, I've got to hand out flyers again.
It gets hard after about, for people at home, a festival is about a week and a half, and it's a lot. It's doing shows, seeing shows, you're promoting your shows, and I can do about 3 in a row, and I'm good. And then after that, it's like, it's hard. Because then you've been nonstop for like a month and a half, and after that, it's like, oh, I need a break.
And then, especially since, you know, the one that I did in Minnesota, that was supposed to be my break. I was supposed to have 2 weeks off. And ended up, you know, so I basically had, like, no time off. And, you know, it's September, so application season begins again. It has begun.
I know.
Can't you just hit up auto pay with that? Like,
no, it's all the whole rigmarole.
Oh, I know. It just seems
like no idea.
They can't automate that a little bit.
Right. Seriously.
No, nothing is easy in this network world.
So you guys,
yes.
Do we have any Black China news?
Yes.
And now, Black China Report. Here's Kirkendall Barrett.
Okay. We have spent a lot of time together. Now, that's the news. Now, this is from HollywoodLife.com, from the reporter Bonnie Faller, as reported to me. Cue the Destiny's Child song because Black China 31 is an independent woman. Uh-oh. The former stripper is a mom of two young kids, two-year-old Dream with Rob Kardashian, and six-year-old King Cairo with Tyga. Uh-huh. But she's not depending on either of her exes. Oh, Tyga? Okay. it looks like Tyga.
Tyga.
But she's not depending on either of her exes, including Rob, to foot the bill for her or her kids. It doesn't matter to China whether or not she's entitled to any money when it comes to caring for her children, an insider tells Hollywood Life exclusively. Who's that?
Oh, John says Linda Wolf says hi.
Walls.
Hi.
You're interrupting the Black... They don't have to put up with this on CNN. This doesn't happen on CNN.
This is breaking Black China
this
news.
This is the Black China news. I've never heard John speak. I've never spoken to your podcast before. All of a sudden... Okay. Anyway.
Do you need the intro again, Kurt?
Acknowledging the fact that neither of her exes pay child support, she really wouldn't have it any other way than to be in a financial position to be able to support her children on her own. That's pretty much it.
Wait, Rob Kardashian doesn't pay child support?
No, nobody pays child support. Black, wow. Who's born Angela Yee, worked as a stripper to pay for school, then trained to become a professional makeup artist.
Good for her.
Oh, she also has her own line of false lashes called Lashed by Black China. So she has always been an independent woman her whole life.
I guess so. Good.
That's
for
the
Black.
News that was reported about. It was like yesterday. This hit the news.
Good.
So
for
there's
Black.
Always new Black China news. Yeah.
Good for her. It's good that she's an independent woman.
I missed how Tyga even related to that story.
It was just naming because Tyga and Rob Kardashian do not pay child support.
Right? Oh, does she have a kid with Tyga too?
Yeah, because
neither. Yeah,
she had a kid with Tyga, and then Tyga left her for Kylie Jenner.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know. So, do you think that maybe, just maybe, Black China and Tyga are somehow getting paid to be on a TV show?
Well, true.
Well,
true.
SAG after a minimum. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But yeah, I would think on Zeus TV, you'd probably make scale.
Oh,
I'm not talking about
you're
Zeus.
Probably not making scale.
I'm talking
on Zeus
about
TV.
Keeping up with the Kardashians. You're part of that universe.
Is he even still on Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
No, I don't think so. They're no longer together? I don't think so, not anymore.
And then, like, Tyga, because he's not with Kylie either, right?
I don't believe so either, no.
I think once you break up, you're done on the show. You're like, you're not in. And other than Scott Disick, he's still on the show. But,
I don't know.
So
hey. Oh, I wanted to ask Jason how New Orleans was.
Ooh,
it's good. It was physically dirtier than I thought it would be, and I don't mean like it was gross. I just mean like there was just like soot or something. Like everywhere I went, I would just get filthy. Like my shoes would be covered in dirt. You know, all a weekend like that, all I did was drink.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot.
How long were you there?
Friday afternoon to Monday afternoon.
So
three nights.
New New Orleans is a lot like Vegas, where like 2 or 3 days is enough.
It really was. I went the perfect amount. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of the city beyond Bourbon Street because I was right there where everything was going on. But it was fun, yeah. But it also was. It didn't like blow me away. Where this is an amazing city and I have to go every year. You know, I liked it. I didn't love it.
Right.
I love New Orleans. In fact, I was once in New Orleans with Les Kirkendall Barrett, who was just known as Les Kirkendall at the time.
Mm. Yes, that's right. I was in relationship number one. That was how long ago? That was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Maybe it was 2014.
Yeah,
It was like in November. I think it was that long ago. Yeah.
No, I love New Orleans. Yeah, we were all there together. That was a fun trip.
Yeah, for the Fringe Festival. Yeah.
Yeah, we were doing shows there. Any Lori Loughlin news or
not for me? No.
Me neither.
And now the Felicity Huffman report. Here's Jason Bowers.
What a pleasant surprise!
I actually didn't bring the stories to the table, but she's been in the news a lot this week because they're doing her trial and her sentencing. And so it came out, I think 2 days ago before recording this, that she had a bunch of prominent people write letters of recommendation to the judge. And one of them was Eva Longoria, who said that Felicity protected her from someone bullying her on set. And they were kind of vague. They didn't say who it was, but they said that Felicity was just like a champion for her. And then today, Mark Cherry, who is the creator of the show, he said that Felicity was a masterclass in compassion when dealing with this older actress that had been on the show that that wasn't doing so well with her lines, and also said that this person was really nice to the person that would bully Eva Longoria. So I'm thinking they're talking about Nicolette.
Was gonna say that sounds like Nicolette Sheridan.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Because it sounds like, you know, even back then it was kind of well known that she was just. She didn't get along with anyone on set. Nobody liked her because she was just mean all the time. And that's kind of what this sounds like.
Right. Yeah. That totally sounds like Nicolette Sheridan, who I love, who the meaner she is, the more I like her.
I mean, it worked so well for her character on the show. But, you know, you don't want to actually work with someone like that.
True.
If she is in fact like that.
I just want to love her from afar.
Yeah.
I don't want to work with her.
Mark Cherry Jones.
Oh.
That's it.
Wait, what? Huh?
What? Nothing. I just said Mark Cherry Jones. It was just a little short little thing.
Are you trying to combine Mark Cherry with the actress Cherry Jones?
Yes.
True.
I succeeded.
Fun fact, I have held Cherry Jones's Emmy in my apartment.
Really?
Yes. I know it's going to lead to something.
Even more fun fact, one of her favorite photos of the Emmy is from my apartment. Because I had a friend that worked on 24 the year she won the Emmy. And she was apparently like super gracious and wanted everyone on the crew to be able to like take the Emmy home and like spend a day with it because she felt like, you know, the win was like partly theirs. So my friend, who was a crew member, like brought the Emmy over to my house one night. And so we were taking like funny photos with it. So there's a photo of me like pretending to wash it in the sink with my dishes.
Emmy.
She shares her Emmy.
Yeah.
See how nice of her. Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
That's very nice.
When I said Mark Cherry Jones, that was a real risk, but we got something out of that.
Yeah.
Right?
That's amazing.
There you go. Big swing, Kurt.
She's a giver, that lady.
Yeah. Yeah, she gave us a little material. What's that?
Right. Speaking of givers, I'm really tired because not only am I tired post-hurricane, I'm severely jet lagged because Halifax is 4 hours ahead of California.
So get ready for a great episode coming.
So feel free to jump in throughout the, like, just jump in.
So, for you, it is almost 11 o'clock at night.
Yes.
When we're recording this.
Yes.
Well, it's almost 10 for me.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna apologize right now. Uh-huh. I'm probably gonna miss stuff and skip. So just be ready to pounce.
All right.
I don't know what we're gonna do with this one. So that's
okay.
We're on the same page.
Yeah.
This actually was recommended by our friend and listener Heather Parrish.
Hi, Heather. Thank you.
Heather Parrish from Fresno.
Hi.
And Heather Parrish is a huge Jane Austen fan, and so she recommended this movie to me.
Had she seen it, and did she like the adaptation?
She loved it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And so she suggested this, and at the time that she suggested this, I was out of town and couldn't really delve into the movies we watched, and I found this, and it was actually intact, and the whole thing was there.
Yes.
And so we watched it, and it was actually, I guess I should save how I thought about it until the end, or...
You could broadly say.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
Not bad, but kind of boring.
I wouldn't even say it's a problem with it, but you know, usually when we do movies on Lifetime, they're bad, but they're so nuts that it makes them really interesting or kind of fun to watch. Like this, I was like, wow, this is actually really good. Like the cast was good, the writing was good, the way they adapted it to modern day Atlanta was good. We're talking about Pride and Prejudice Atlanta, by the way, from Lifetime. I wanted it to be bad.
I know. I did too.
I wanted some trash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. I totally did.
Trash.
But
what'd you give us, Heather? You gave us something that's hard to work with.
Yeah. Heather, give us terrible movies. Give us movies that were like a sludge to get through.
Yeah. What was that one, The Evil Grandmother?
That was amazing.
Psycho Granny, Psycho Neighbor,
Psycho Stripper.
Psycho Stripper we watched, yeah.
Psycho Bank Teller.
Psycho Pride and Prejudice.
I'll make up for it with the next one. Yeah. I'll pick an extra, extra cheesy.
Extra.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Before we start, didn't you share something with a certain actor that did a commercial or did a print ad?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You're talking about.
And now, it's time for the Eric Roberts Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
In a couple of movies. He will do anything. Eric Roberts will do anything. And I thought I'd seen everything that he would do. But in last Sunday's Parade magazine, you know, Parade, it's like in the comic section of the Sunday paper.
Yeah, it's like every Sunday paper in the country.
It's been around.
Yeah.
It's been around for 100 years. And there's an ad in it. I guess he thought none of us were going to see it. There's an ad for American Standard's walk-in bathtub. And it's like he's lying in a tub. And he's like, he said, I know I can keep my independence as long as I want. Or was it? No, as long as possible. So basically, it's like a walk-in tub for people who have trouble standing in tubs or getting into tubs.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You seem surprised by the concept of walk-in tub. Like, watch Fox News or like Ion Television, any of those channels that have, like, a big, like, older audience. That's all those commercials are. Is walk-in
now,
tubs.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a walk-in. So wait. So you walk in the tub.
Well, yeah.
It's got a door.
It's for like older people.
Yeah. It's basically like a taller tub. I can't believe you guys have never seen these. So it's like a taller tub, and before you like fully fill it with water, like there's like the part of the side of the tub is a door, but it's like seals when you shut it. So you open up the door and then you shut it, and then you could turn on the water.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah,
so this is something that like somebody probably like 70 plus.
Yeah. It's for people that aren't like super mobile, but they need to bathe themselves.
How old is he? He's not that old.
I don't know. 60s. But it was a depressing magazine. How old?
He's probably in his 60s, but probably looks really good for his age.
All right. So I guess he's preparing for the walk-in tub. I mean, does he really need to do that? This guy just likes to work. He's got a gig every day, I think.
I mean, when Kurt sent us that photo last, I mean, my thought literally was, what kind of like gambling debts does Eric Roberts have that he has to do stuff like this?
Man. You know, it's depressing. Seriously. There was also an ad. I think there was an ad in that same parade. It was a menopause ad with Mary Lou Retton. Like, man.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
What? This Parade magazine. I think they're sorry I ever got a hold of it.
Oh, I need a copy of that ad. If you still have it, can you send me a copy?
Yes, please.
It's an inside joke between me and a friend.
The thing Mary Lou Retton, the Mary Lou Retton menopause ad, I could kind of see that, just, you know, endorsements and da-da-da-da-da. But Eric Roberts was, like, this, like, you know, A-list actor who could act.
He does real estate movies. Like, we've mentioned this before, like multi-million dollar homes that are for sale, they'll make a little movie. Like a little promo movie and showing a family living in that house, and he'll do that. He'll get cast in that.
Mm-hmm. Tell you, gambling debts. It's gonna come out at some point. He has like horrible gambling debts
or bankruptcy or something.
I guess
bankruptcy from gambling divorces.
I'm gonna look at how many divorces because his kid's doing. He's got the Emma Roberts as his kid. She's doing all right, right?
Yeah, she could probably help him out.
I'm sure he's had more than one divorce.
Yeah, he has to. This is
And I actually know somebody who years ago was his assistant, and it didn't sound fun.
It's a full time job.
I know somebody that I knew a long time ago told me that Eric Roberts blatantly hit on this friend of mine, and. Let's just say it's not – the story is not – it does not go the way you think it does. Oh. I have to be really vague. I'll tell you off air.
All right.
Okay. All right. Yeah, tell us afterwards.
We don't want any lawsuits by people who apparently are looking for money.
And I'm just saying this is something a friend told me, so it's hearsay.
Okay, we didn't
– Right.
Yeah.
Nobody said whether this was a man or woman.
Right.
I did not say that. I definitely did not say that.
So I said nope. So if you're looking for money, don't come suing us.
Yeah.
I wonder if when he hit on your friend, was he wearing his glasses?
Oh, man.
Okay. And if anyone didn't see that ad, by the way, that we were talking about, I put it on our Instagram so you can find it.
Wait, was he wearing his glasses in the ad?
No, we joked about it. He was spread out.
Yeah, he's spread out, relaxing and – thinking about the next day's work on whatever awful movie's going to be done.
I guess, you know.
He's like, that home isn't going to sell itself. They need me.
I guess, hey, he represents him.
I want his aging.
Right.
Seriously. You'd never be out of work.
Yeah.
Ever.
I mean, I do, but okay. All right.
Anyway.
Yeah, we should jump into the movie.
Anyway, okay, so Pride and Prejudice Atlanta. And what I loved about it is our friend Jack Hay is in this movie.
Our friend?
In a major role.
Yes, she's the star. Pretty much. And so we start out, we're in Atlanta, and we get a Jack Hay voiceover. And so she's basically setting it up. She's in church. She has a bunch of daughters. She wants to see them off. But we're in church, and then she says Charles and his sister show up. And Charles, I don't know who Charles, the actor who plays Charles is, but the sister was Rudy from The Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
Yeah. So she basically gives the rundown like on her daughters, and like, you know, one's the studious one. One of them is a widow.
One has a tattoo.
One has a tattoo. One's party a gossip. Girl. One's a gossip. And then there is Lizzie. who is the daughter, kind of like the what would you call her? Like the rebellious one.
She's a Spitfire. She's independent.
Yes. Mm. And her mother is obsessed with her daughter's finding a man, and Lizzie's the I don't need a man girl. A woman. And so I wrote, like, they're in church, and I wrote, Jack Hay has a fabulous hat, like a church hat.
By the way, my favorite line of the whole movie has already happened.
Which is?
Well, as she's going through, talking about all of her daughters, one of the daughters' names is Mary. And hearing Jack Hay go, Mary.
Oh, right.
Aww. I was in heaven. Oh. Mary.
Ooh, Mary. I used to love that
Jack
Hay
as a type. I used to watch
right?
that.
Right. Oh, so then we see Lizzie, and she's like at a protest, and she's on a loudspeaker, and then she's protesting. She's trying to save this theater. And so this guy, Anton, comes up, and he's like planning on tearing down the theater. Because he's going to build, like, they're going to build condos or something, right?
It's like a development of some sort, yeah.
Yeah. And so, but he's also kind of hitting on her, too. Anton is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not having it, though.
She's not having it at all.
She especially likes the movie theater. She said that she went to see The Wiz at that movie theater.
And that he was like, maybe we can ease on down the road.
Blech.
Right.
You know, Eddie Murphy criticized Garrett Morris for playing a flying monkey in The Wiz, and Garrett Morris said in some kind of interview, said, you know, the same person who criticized me for playing a flying monkey in The Wiz is now playing a donkey in Shrek. He's like, ooh.
Not wrong.
Burn.
Damn.
Not wrong.
Damn.
So yep. Jack A is basically obsessed with setting her daughters up. And marrying them on, like, obsessed. Like, to the point of, I was thinking, okay, this movie was, like, in 2018 or 19. How do women feel about this?
It's definitely new. Because there was a reference, there was some, like, really new reference. I forget what it was, but yeah.
Oh, a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I looked at all that stuff through the lens of... This is still an adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. So, yeah, it's set in present day, but if you take away that stuff, if you take away the whole framework of mom really wants daughter, like, you know, daughter that doesn't want to get married, then you don't have a movie at all.
Right. Oh, no, and don't get me wrong. I was digging it. I was enjoying it, but I was just wondering, you know... And especially coming from a festival, like a fringe festival that was heavily on, like, you know, kill the patriarchy, da 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 da.
You're so woke.
Right. Now, I'm going to sacrifice myself for the audience, but here goes. I'm not familiar with what the story is of Pride and Prejudice. So what is it?
I've actually never read the book or seen the movie, but like as they were laying all this out, I'm like, okay, this is clearly actually based on the book. So I kind of figured that they were walking us through it.
Well, I've read the book and seen the movie, and they were pretty right on. They were pretty
spot on. It's about a group of daughters?
A group of a family, bunch of daughters. But it was back in the 1800s. When was Jane Austen around? Whatever. It was. Hold on. Be quiet.
No, he might know.
He was answering you.
He says 1900.
I like that your mid-900s. Alexa actually mid-800s. Cooks too.
Mid 1800s. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So back then, you know, you were supposed to get a man and get married. The man was supposed to provide for you.
Right, exactly. And it was you were supposed to get married, and you were supposed – because she was obsessed – Jack Hay was obsessed with her daughters marrying rich men. She didn't want them just marrying anybody. They had to be rich. And so – and by the way, the dad was the dad from Family Matters.
Reginald Vell Johnson.
And the cop. and the cop from Die Hard and the doorman from Crocodile Dundee.
Right.
It was like the Holy Trinity.
And then, like, they're eating dinner, and as they're eating dinner, I wrote that chicken looks amazing. I didn't even eat chicken, and that chicken looked amazing.
I like the dinner scene. I like the dinner scene, because they look like they're having a good time. The actors look like they were enjoying themselves doing that scene.
Yeah.
Yes. and it was very, like, you know, they talked about getting laid. Cool. They talked about, like, it was very, like, you know, 2019.
Like a real conversation you'd have at the dinner table. Although, I don't know that I would talk about that with my family.
No.
True. But I guess
they were a very liberal bunch.
Yeah. And especially for them being like church people. Mm-hmm. And the dad being a minister.
Right? He just kind of get a look on his face. He has a couple looks that he uses in his repertoire.
By the way, it didn't dawn on me until this scene that the preacher was the dad. Like, it took me a little while that the preacher from the church earlier in the movie is, the guy sitting at the table there.
Great. So then they're talking, and it turns out that I guess Jack Hay wrote a relationship book.
Oh, yeah.
And so
that was unclear to me at first that she had actually written it.
Yeah, me too.
Because the way it was introduced, it sounded almost like they were making a joke saying that she lived by some rules that she read in a book. I didn't realize they were saying, that those are her rules because it was her book.
Right. Yeah, I didn't.
It wasn't necessary. I mean,
no,
didn't
not at all.
Do much with that idea. You guys watch Succession on HBO?
I've seen a few episodes of season one, but I've not finished it.
The last episode has a huge dinner table scene, and it's very different from this, but anyway, it's worth seeing.
I like watching those kinds of scenes in movies and TV shows because they seem like they would be so simple to film, but they actually take forever because you have to get like single shots of every single person sitting there. And then you have to get, like, different angles, and you have to get the wide angle of everyone.
Right.
That's what I think when I watch this and I watch the Succession. Because the Succession dinner table scene might be, like a half hour long, I think. Wow. And it's like, you know, it just took like forever to do this, and all the actors have to sit there. But it's a great – if it's done well, it's a good introduction to all the characters. And I'll say this was done well.
Yeah.
Oh, so then they're all at a wedding.
It was quick, too. It was quick.
So they're all at, so the dad wants them to meet Charles. And Charles is like a golf guy. Like, he's a PGA professional golfer or something, right?
Either golf or tennis. It was one of those. I wasn't sure.
It was golf, because I remember somebody taking golf, yeah.
So they're at a wedding, and then Darcy shows up. Will Darcy shows up.
Marrying Mr. Darcy.
With Rudy from The Cosby Show. And Rudy's a bitch, actually, in this. So then Jack Hay gets a look at him, and she rearranges the place card so her daughters could sit next to the guys. And then Darcy kind of likes Lizzie. But then his friend warned him, you know, stay away from Lizzie, she's trouble. And Lizzie was doing what I like to do. She was eavesdropping.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that in this. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a lot of eavesdropping, which I condone. And
it was at this point that I wrote down that there are way too many characters in this for a Lifetime movie. I was having trouble remembering who was who and how they were related to each other because they were trying to introduce them all at once.
Right. And most Jane Austen adaptations that I have seen have been miniseries, and they fit this all into an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks more like a TV show.
Yeah. Even though I would watch the show if it became a series, I would totally watch it.
Is Clueless a Jane Austen adaptation?
Yes, that's Emma. That's an adaptation of the book Emma.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. Jane Austen books make great movie adaptations.
Okay. She wrote this with Jack Hay in mind.
Right. So Rudy's talking about colleges with Lizzie, and she's being very shady about,
Bud.
You know, did you go to this? Did you go to Spelman? Well, I went to blah, blah, blah. And so then Anton is hitting on Lizzie, but then Lizzie's friend saves her, and they go out dancing, and they're flossing. They're doing the floss dance, not flossing their teeth.
Yeah.
They're doing
that was probably the recent thing where you knew that, oh, this movie can't be that old.
No, I'm not even familiar with the floss dance. I don't know what that is.
That's the one. Do you remember the backpack kid from SNL from like 2 years ago? He, like, I'm going to show you. It's like he's the one arm is going the one way while the other arm is going that way. And then it's like this and this and this and this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For those that couldn't see me, I looked like a moron.
We got to Instagram that. Mm-hmm.
So then we find out that Will Darcy is actually running for Congress. And so then Lizzie just goes and starts questioning about stuff, you know, because she's very grassroots. She's very community minded and she does not like him at all. So she's basically sticking it to the man and he's the man. So, and then, and then she calls Darcy out for shit-talking because she was like, I was listening when he was telling you to stay away from me. And so then they're all waiting for their cars at the valet, and this fabulous sports car shows up, and Darcy hops in, and Jack Hay was, like, just about to plot because, you know, he has, like, this fabulous car. Meanwhile, Shane and Charles meet, and they're instantly in love. And Jack Hay proclaims this mission Charles, like she's going to make sure they get married.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She she's going to go meet up with Charles, and Jack Hay tells her to take an Uber so that he has to give her a ride home.
Yeah. Which is smart.
That seems dangerous because what if this guy is a creep? You don't know at this point. This guy could be like a murderer, you know, like have your own car and be able to get out of there if you're not drinking.
True. I was just caught up with, I'm like, oh my God, Jack Hay just told her to take an Uber. They're talking about Uber in this. This is a recent movie.
Uber. Wow. It's supposed to go to an all day party, which I was like, I wonder what that means.
Right. Oh, another mistake, and this is just me. Jane instantly introduced the guy to her kid, like instantly.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was a mistake.
Okay.
That was a total mistake.
Why?
You don't get the kid to fall in love with the new prospective beau until you know it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
They're going to this all-day party.
All-day party. Party all the time. That'd be good for, you know. Okay, go ahead.
You've had your mind on Eddie Murphy for the past couple weeks.
I listened to that podcast. He's like, look, any movie I've done that they paid me well for was not a failure. That's what he said.
True.
Come to the police right now to arrest Eddie Murphy for doing shitty movies.
For doing Pluto Nash.
For doing Tower Heights.
So
I'm excited. Anton, Eddie Murphy comeback.
Anton invites Lizzie, but Lizzie's not interested. So they're at the estate, and Rudy's showing the stables, and then Rudy they're all going to go riding, and then Rudy, like, is being shady, and she goes to Jane and's like, oh, you've ridden, right? And then the next scene, we find out that Jane fell off of the horse and sprained her ankle.
Yeah, I feel like they should have shown not told us about it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a big moment in the movie, or, you know, in the... Is it in the book? Because I know about that from the book.
Yeah.
So, like, really? Show us, don't tell us. Yeah.
So then she calls Lizzie, and like, Lizzie, I sprained my ankle, I fell off this horse, come and pick me up. Because A, she was embarrassed, and B, she couldn't drive because of her ankle.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, she didn't drive anyway.
She could have taken an Uber home.
Right.
With an Uber. Yeah, she could take an Uber home. That's right, she has that Uber account. Mm-hmm.
So then Lizzie just hops in the car, and she drives over, and her car is kind of janky.
It's like a broke-ass
And she pulls up to the valet, and right when she pulls up to the valet, her car breaks down.
What a mess.
And so she gets out of the car. She's just wearing, like, her jeans and bedroom, like, bed slippers and a T-shirt. And everybody's, like, totally dressed up. And people are, like, giving her looks.
Horrified.
But this is what made me like Mr. Darcy, because he's like, hey, you know what? Why don't you just sleep over? We have a lot of room, and I'll fix your car and have it sent back to you.
There you go.
I found that whole
get it fixed.
That was weird to me, only because, like, how far away was this house?
Well, it is Georgia,
pretty far. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Georgia is like. Have you ever been to Atlanta? Georgia is like that. Like, there are neighborhoods, like suburbs, that are actually an hour away sometimes.
Oh, okay. But even an hour away, like, why? Why would you need to stay overnight?
Well, but then again, when Lizzie got there, even though Jane had called her and said, I'm so embarrassed, come and get me, by the time Lizzie got there, Jane had gotten over her embarrassment and was having a good time.
Yeah. Well, please.
And you
That's
know
a
what?
Move.
If they were
That's a move.
But actually, if they were gonna turn up and drink and stuff, then hey, stay in my, I've got plenty of room. Don't drink and drive. Just stay over.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Charles.
Hey, ladies that we barely know, come to my house party and I'll ply you with alcohol. And hey, just stay the night.
True.
Look, we don't want lawsuits from Eric Roberts. Just to repeat. Okay.
How's Eric Roberts figuring it out?
I just need to repeat that right now.
Are you suggesting that Darcy's going to ask them into his walk-in tub?
No, don't. I'm not saying. I'm not. Okay, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I said, are you suggesting that Darcy's going to invite them into his walk-in tub?
Right.
Maybe. Well, he has associated himself with walk-in tubs.
So Jack
well,
K.
what I can't
happy.
Believe. Yeah, Jack Kay's happy. They're putting clothes on the line, which tells you they're pretty far from the estate. And the dad, the reverend's happy with this. I thought the reverend was going to be like, what? Spend the night there?
Right?
But no, he's like, oh, I'm happy because you're happy.
People, right? Going. I know, seriously.
Then the other daughter walks outside. She's going to a Tinder date.
Mm-hmm. Right. Willy Wakanda.
And you know, she's the wild one because she's got red hair.
Right. And a tight she's dress. Wild.
Mm-hmm. A subplot.
Right. So then Rudy and Lizzie, I love how I'm just calling her Rudy.
Yeah.
Rudy and Lizzie are
Rudy?
Talking.
Buh.
And
remember that episode of the Cosby Show where Rudy has that friend and she calls him Bud.
Yeah, Bud. And then
his name
being,
his name's not Bud.
His name is
his
Kenny,
Kenny
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was Kenny. Bud.
That's funny. Oh. So then Rudy's being shady again with Lizzie, and she's like, you're so down to earth, which is, that's a dig.
Tell and Rudy then, to tell Denise not to do Angel Heart. It's
right.
It's an embarrassment to everyone.
Well, but Denise won because she's now married to Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
And she did marry Lenny Kravitz as well,
yeah.
So Denise is winning. Mm. Oh, so then...
Okay, good.
So then Will is like, hey, why don't you change... You know, I'll get you a change of clothes. My sister has a bunch of clothes. My sister can lend you something. Which, he should have known that the sister was going to be shady and give her, like, a shady dress. So she gets this dress where it's like this tight dress. She looked good in it.
Yeah.
But it was very tight.
It was a little scandalous for the kind of party it was.
Yeah.
Although I did wonder about that because the sister was Rudy, and Rudy was, you know, a bit curvier than this girl. Like, you know, curvier enough where, like, she wouldn't have fit in this dress for quite some time.
And shorter.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but she looked good in the dress.
Yeah.
She did not have the confidence to pull it off, though.
No, she did not. And so then they start talking politics, which is not a good idea. And Lizzie basically tells Will what bugs her about him and the government. And then Rudy throws in, well, has a congressman ever won an election without a wife?
Mm.
Hint, hint, hint. Meanwhile, the Wild sister's at a poker game playing poker.
And she's the only woman there. It's her and a bunch of dudes. I was actually worried for her safety.
Right. But she looked like she could kick someone's ass.
Oh,
like,
she absolutely she did, but still.
Yeah. This was her Tinder date.
Yes.
And I think.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Because they reference his Tinder photo, and it's kind of not a real good photo of him. He's better than looking in person.
He's actually cute. He's cute, actually. So then we find out that George is actually a Darcy as well. Mm-hmm. But what would you call it? Like a low-key Darcy? He doesn't want the trappings of wealth or anything.
Right. He sort of distances himself from the family.
Right. And so she tells him, I'll teach you how to slide into my DMs.
How do you feel that Jane Austen would have felt about some of the contemporary flourishes of this movie?
Well, but see, the thing is, they actually, it could have, I think it was a fine line between being cheesy and working, and they actually made this work.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just thinking of things like what would the Jane Austen era version of a Tinder date be?
Like
if she wrote it now.
Calling card.
Yeah.
Like he comes courting.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
Or maybe like a dowry lineup where like, you know, her dad gets to pick like what dowry he's going to get for his daughter.
Right.
Or is that like older?
No, that's the time.
And he swipes one right and swipes one left.
And then remember,
choose
like,
the correct one.
And remember, the marriage was almost like a business deal as well, because if you married her, you get her land. She's a woman, and remember, women can, you know, like the husband would get the land if he married
That's
her.
That's the dowry. So, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's the dowry. Mm-hmm.
So then we see Darcy, he's riding his horse. Then
now was there snooping around here? Oh no, there's not.
It looked like she's kind of snooping.
Yeah, there is some snooping, yeah. Yes. Lizzie.
And she gets caught. Which is fine. But then she's talking to Darcy. He's telling her how he was bred to be to be in politics, it's his family business, and Lizzie is like, you know, telling him how she's into social justice, you know, and sticking it to the man.
Very broad strokes politically.
Yeah. Then Jack Hay.
I think
and
poor people should eat.
Yeah.
You know, it's like very. Well, I don't believe so.
So then Jack Hay shows up with like the entire family to pick him up.
Yeah, that was weird too.
The sisters, everybody's in the car. Surprised they had room.
And so then Jack Hay, of course, is like, "Hey, look at this."
They should have pulled up in the Partridge Family bus.
Right.
That would have been amazing.
Exactly. Because Jack Hayden with daughters is basically like, good job, girls.
That's right.
Like, if Shirley Jones were still with us, that would have been a great cameo. Shirley Jones behind the wheel of that bus.
Yeah.
Right.
All the remaining Partridge people are in the van, too. Danny Bonaducci. I think Susan Day. She's alive, right?
Yeah.
She's alive.
Yeah, she's in there, too. Everybody's still around.
Who played the tambourine? Tracy.
No, we're going to keep her around.
Oh, poor Tracy.
No, she's in there. She's in there. I'm just kidding around.
She can't help but that.
She's just strapped to the roof of the bus.
That was big. I threw her under the bus.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Oh, man. I thought doing this movie was going to be boring. This is the most fun I've had in a year.
Because we're talking about the Partridge Family. Sure.
So then they're leaving.
Yeah, Partridge Family, really. That really perked me up.
Right? So they're leaving, and Darcy once again is like, I'm going to get your car fixed and have it sent to you. Which is fine, as long as she doesn't get a bill.
Yeah. These people have money, so.
Right?
Get that
car
fixed.
Lizzie's looking at his picture, and you can tell she kind of likes him, but she's not going to give it.
Yeah, she's like in bed staring at photos of him. She's stalking him.
Right. So then a new character comes up. Stephen Collins, otherwise known as Cockroach from The Cosby Show.
Is that?
That's Cockroach.
That was Cockroach?
That's familiar to me.
Yeah, that was Cockroach.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I was stuck on Stephen Collins because wasn't that the guy that played the dad on Seventh Heaven that then like turned out to be
like a weirdo creep
that was it molesting kids allegedly?
Or like child porn? Like it was something.
It was something with kids, I believe.
Yeah, something bad with kids.
Yeah,
no, and his name was Stephen Collins,
the actor. Yeah.
Oh, the actor, Stephen Collins. Okay.
So then,
now, Cockroach was Theo's friend?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
So then Cockroach, though, is going to be a minister, we find out. And we also find out that... Wait, okay, this is what confused me. Was he a Darcy, or did the Darcys just subsidize his education?
I think they just subsidized his education. Or I think he was like a nephew or something. He wasn't. Because wasn't that woman his mom?
Oh, yeah. Drusilla. Okay. The woman coming up. Who's Drusilla from Young and the Restless?
Drusilla, yeah, I knew she was on some soap opera.
Yeah. It was Drusilla.
Yeah.
Drusilla Winters.
Well, of course it was.
We'll get to that. Now, so, first, Steve Collins walks in, and they have the same TV from when he was a kid. He used to watch The Jeffersons and Good Times. And the old phone still works. It's still
the rotary phone.
Dial tone phone, yeah.
How old was he supposed to be that he watched The Jeffersons and Good Times growing up?
Well, he was supposed to be 40, because he said... He was. They said his age at one point.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could watch it on
reruns. Yeah, I guess reruns. And, yeah.
Yeah.
So then Cockroach says that the Lord told him to come back to Atlanta and take over the church.
The church where the dad from Family Matters preaches currently.
Right. And then he goes to Jacquet. And says, I want to marry Jane. And Jack Hay says, Jane's a little busy right now, but what about Lizzie?
And this is a little unclear. It was a little weird because, first of all, he's talking to the dad. The daughters are like filing in, but he's kind of ignoring them as they're filing in.
Right.
Then he's talking to Jack Hay. She seems like she's, like, turned off by him, but then all of a sudden she's like, oh, Lizzie, yeah.
Well, he's talking to her about becoming a pastor and needing a wife, and when he asks about Jane, he refers to her as exceptionally beautiful.
Right.
Creepy.
Very creepy. So then Lydia saves Lizzie and takes Lizzie clubbing.
Right.
And George is there as well. And
at the club.
At the club. And they're talking. And Lizzie's like, well, how are you so down to earth? And then we find out that George is actually adopted because his mother was their maid. And when she died...
I see dead people.
They nice. Adopted him. So,
good deal.
So, but he said he turned his back on the money, which, like, why? Why?
Right.
Why?
This family, like, adopted you.
Right.
Yeah, what?
And turned his back? What? Why would you resent that?
Right.
I get maybe wanted to use your money to help others, but why would you be like, no, I don't need it. I'm good.
I'm moving on up to the east side.
Bad idea.
So then we see Drusilla from Young and the Restless with Cockroach. And
I would listen to that morning radio program. Drusilla and Cockroach in the morning.
Drusilla and Cockroach in the morning.
And so Darcy's giving like his campaign speech. And what happened after that? I had to leave the room for a second.
You had to leave?
During this part. I know they were arguing, but I missed the part right before they were arguing.
Lizzie like showed up at the speech, and it's kind of like a town hall style thing. And she shows up, and she starts questioning Darcy, but she gets cut off by Drusilla and Cockroach in the morning because they had to do traffic and weather together on the 10s.
Right.
It did.
So then, actually, and this is the part I'm a little shaky on, so maybe you guys should take over.
Yes. Oh, take over.
Well, not take over, but like...
No, this little part... Yeah, this is where the political broad strokes are happening. Lizzie said, look, you haven't even been to the schools. And then some of the guy says, I guess it's one of the main characters, he says, well, we need jobs. And that was when the aunt, the woman... Drusilla from the Young and the Restless or whatever she's from, then she says we all need a snack break, and the potential congressman will answer your questions one-on-one. So then he's walking around and he's like shaking hands with everybody, and now Jane is all excited because she's going to go to Paris.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she won a trip to Paris in a silent auction.
So she's getting that, and then the Dad says, he says, let's go. This is a Reginald, what's his name?
Reginald Bell Johnson.
Yeah. He says they all have to go to ice cream. Everybody's heading out to ice cream now.
Aw.
So now they're heading out. Okay, you up to this point now, Les?
You
see this?
Did anything happen before she got dumped?
Yes. Well, now we go to the ice cream place. Mm-hmm. So they all go to ice cream. And they're all talking. And now Steven's kind of making his move. He walks up to Lizzie and asks her, I have it, he asked her to go to Ribs. He has some kind of like rib event. It's a station appearance, he has to go though. He has to go to Ribs. That's right. Station appearance for Drusilla and
Cockroach in the morning.
Drusilla and Cockroach.
He's
going to
be out there with the prize pig handing out T-shirts.
That's right. Yep. Danny Bonaduce will be on hand to cut the ribbon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He worked
Lizzie
the radio.
Says, look, Cockroach, you're not for me. I remember that episode of The Cosby Show where you and Theo did not go see Macbeth. You listened to the – what did they do? They read the Cliff Notes. That's what it was. They had a test on Macbeth, and instead they read the Cliff Notes.
Is that one of the episodes Adam Sandler was in too?
Maybe. But then Cosby and Felicia Rashad made him then go upstairs and read Macbeth. So then Reginald Family Matters Crocodile Dundee doorman, he says to Lizzie, he says, look, your mother's going to be mad at you if you go out with Cockroach. I'm going to be mad at you if you do.
Ah,
but then Cockroach is sitting there, and he's putting a French fry in his milkshake, and he looks over, and one of the other daughters, this one's name is Charlotte?
Charlotte, that was established well, because we barely could
tell the daughters apart because only the two main ones are really introduced. I thought she was a daughter as well.
Yeah, like Lydia, the two main ones, and then Lydia was kind of in and out.
Yeah,
sort of.
She was like a supporting daughter, and then the other two were like, are they even in this movie?
Right.
Yeah, a supportive daughter. Well, they're going to be the next one.
Yeah.
Charlotte's doing the thing. Charlotte's doing the same thing with the French fries and the milkshake. They look over at each other, and perhaps that is a match. All right, so now we're at that breakup scene. This is what you're talking about, Les. Jane and Lizzie, they're making tea, and then Jane gets a text. Now you remember that song by Kelly? You remember that song? You can't text message breakup. That's a song from years ago?
Yeah.
Well, this is what happens. She gets broken up in a text. You remember that? It was that character that shoes. She had that song, Shoes.
Yes.
Yeah. She had a song, you can't text message break up.
Yes. I don't think I've been broken up with via text, but I was once broken up with via email. And then once broken up with over MySpace.
What?
MySpace. Well, that wasn't recent.
It wasn't recent, but I was a full-grown adult already at that point.
Jeez.
Yeah.
MySpace. What did you think of that?
Yeah. And in both cases, I called the person out.
Oh, God. Yeah, MySpace.
MySpace message.
Mm-hmm. So then they go to the... The one thing that I did kind of that did kind of bug me a little bit is characters would appear out of nowhere and all of a sudden become important. Because all of a sudden Drusilla was important when she wasn't before.
Right. Like she hadn't been introduced earlier in the movie and now we're supposed to be invested in whatever she's doing.
Right. So she goes over, Lizzie goes over with Charlotte to meet Drusilla. And I love the line when Drusilla's walking down the stairs and Charlotte was in awe. And Charlotte's like, I want to wear her like a coat. So they go over there for dinner. Charlotte and Lizzie go over to the Darcys for dinner. And so Drusilla is being really snotty. So, she asked Lizzie, so when did you come out? And Lizzie's like, I'm straight. And she meant, no, when was your debutante ball? And
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, a debutante
ball? It's like a fancy pants sweet 16, essentially.
Yeah. I've had debutante balls.
Yeah, you've heard of a coming out party? Not in the gay sense.
Not really.
They used to do it for, more affluent families would present their daughter as if to say, she's becoming a woman now and is ready to get married.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
At what age? Like 16?
16.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, back then, yeah.
Because my cousins who did that, they were 16.
Does this still go on?
Yeah. It's a southern thing. Mm-hmm. It's a southern thing.
Yeah, see, I didn't spend much time in the South.
And yeah, it's a big deal.
Back up for a second. We were talking about Charlotte telling Lizzie that she likes Stevie. She tells Lizzie that she's engaged to Stevie already. How did that happen so quick?
Right.
Who?
Charlotte and Cockroach. Yeah. Are engaged. Yeah,
right. Then that is actually true to the book, though.
Yeah. Also true to the era, though.
Yeah.
Less true to current era.
Yeah, you get engaged quick.
Yeah.
Sometimes without even knowing them, mm-hmm. like, or barely knowing them.
Hmm.
So then, you know, of course, Rudy's being shady. Drusilla's being shady. Mm-hmm. And then Drusilla starts talking about how Charles was on a PGA tour and there was a gold digger with a kid who tried to get her hooks into him. And as she's telling the story, Lizzie realizes, she's talking about my sister.
Yeah.
Jane
so, storms out.
So they storm
Not
out.
Jane.
No, Lizzie.
I mean, Lizzie storms out.
Yeah. Lizzie storms out.
And then she yells at Darcy, like, get away from me. You're a dick. This is your fault. Like, you did this. And, of course, Darcy's mm-hmm. like, wait, I can explain.
Yeah, he's like, that's not what happened.
And so then Lizzie goes to see Jack Hay, and she has some mail. And we find out that her petition to save the theater was denied. So she's very upset, and she's like, Mom, you know, she's having, like, a conversation you would have with your mom, you know, I'm bummed out, what, my life is nothing, da-da-da-da-da, I'm a failure, and Jack Hay was like, I've never thought that you were a failure, you know, buck up, little girl, you're just fine. So then, Lizzie is cutting her dad's hair, even though he's bald.
Yeah.
He's cutting his hair. And
which they joke about within the context of the scene.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess it was in the script.
So then we find out that there's, like, actually, even though her petition was denied, there's going to be a fundraiser for the theater. And he's like, you know what? You should bring a bunch of kids with you. Because that, you know, you should do.
Well, she's going to bring the kids to see the governor. To protect the
yeah.
player.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This is another part I kind of missed, because this is where they had a fight, right? They had a fight at the theater.
Yeah. Well, first we find out that Lydia is pregnant.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes. Right. And this is a part where I was like, okay, Jack Hay, you have been encouraging your daughters through this whole movie to go grab a man.
Yeah.
But then when one gets pregnant, all of a sudden you're pissed.
Yeah. Well, you're jumping ahead, though. So the thing that you were talking about at the theater is Darcy – or Tibbet is there, and he's chewing Lizzie out. Because he thinks that Lizzie is screwing up the development that he's trying to build. And then Darcy shows up and Tibbet's chewing him out because he donated to Lizzie's campaign to save the Strand.
Uh-huh.
And Lizzie overhears them, like, fighting and realizes that, like, Darcy isn't all terrible.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and they're having this big argument in front of the kids,
yeah.
in front of everybody else. And
in right.
Really inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, this won't get you in her pants.
Yeah.
Right. For the kids' choir.
So then we find out that Lydia's pregnant.
And her parents want her to marry him. And she's like, well, I don't know him really. And I don't. She's like, yeah, I'm pregnant by him, but I don't know him well enough to marry him. And
right.
they basically convince her to marry him.
Well, George asked the preacher for his blessing.
Yeah.
But Lydia's like, you've got to earn my hand.
She still says no.
Right.
She says no. She says, I've given up enough of my goodies. That's
right.
what she said. Or maybe that's something I say.
That and is then, something you say. You say that all the time, Kurt.
Yeah, I say that. I say, I've given up enough of my goodies.
Right.
And then they eat a lot of sweets. Because she's like, Jack Hay just says, who wants pound cake? So then they go in the kitchen and they get some pound cake. There's ice cream or cakes or stuff. I'd like to move in there.
Well, it's, you know, Atlanta. That's another Southern thing.
it's Atlanta, and it's the South, and it's just big families. Like, that's what you do is you convene around food.
And then is this the part where, like, Jack Hay and Lizzie are having, like, a heart-to-heart talk?
My coming out party. I'll get myself some pound cake, some ice cream. Oh, I'm sorry, what?
Like,
I was mystified. Yes, Jack Hay is having an argument. Oh, yes, yeah. And they go in the kitchen. And then Jack Hay and Lizzie start having a heart-to-heart talk where Jack Hay says that her husband, the Reverend, had failed the law exam. So he could not become a lawyer.
Right. But she loved him anyway.
Yeah. The law exam, isn't that the LSAT?
Mm-hmm.
You don't fail the law. Do you fail the law set?
Or yeah, you either pass it or you don't. You either pass the bar or you don't.
Well, there's the bar exam, but then there's like the LSATs or like the SATs.
Okay. Well, the LSAT's like a score. So she was probably talking about the bar.
Yeah.
I think he failed the bar.
Oh.
Which is very difficult. I know people who have taken the bar who have taken it way more than once.
Wasn't JFK Jr. notorious for having failed the bar a bunch of times back when he was, like, you know, a lot of playboy? And
at least once he failed it, yeah. You could retake that.
He did, multiple times.
He did, yeah, but, you know, yeah.
So then Charles comes over, and he's like, you know, he talks to Jane. He's like, I messed up. I'm afraid. He's like, I messed up. And Darcy pulled me aside and said, if I wasn't going to take this seriously, then I should let you go instead of breaking your heart. So Darcy actually was sticking up for her. He wasn't convincing him to break up with her.
He was trying to protect her.
Right.
Yeah. So then, of course, Jane forgives Charles, and then we find out that Darcy bought the theater. And he also bought something for George too, right? Didn't he buy him a bar or something?
I missed him buying the theater.
Yeah. He bought the theater.
I know he gave money to help save the theater, but I don't think he bought it.
Yeah, he bought the theater. Yeah, he bought that in my notes too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He bought the theater, and then he also bought George something. Unless that was the theater. Like, he bought George something.
He bought George a club to manage, yeah.
Yeah.
But
he bought the theater. So he owns the theater.
How many nightclubs were in the original Pride and Prejudice?
Well, you know, they had,
was the Wiz?
That would be a good, the all the DJs that play at, like, you know, the big famous nightclubs, and they played all the EDM festivals, like a marshmallow with the big marshmallow head. Like, somebody needs to, their shtick needs to be that they're like a heroine out of a Jane Austen novel.
Right.
But they're up there on the deck spitting.
Right. Like, but yeah, like Emma would be like,
yeah.
So
I was an extra on Gossip Girl, and they had that guy Danger Mouse, I guess his
name.
The guy's like a DJ. He's a famous DJ. So he's there. I was like right next to him.
Did he have the head off?
He's like, I don't know. He had the head on, and he's like, I don't know why they hired me. He goes, I don't know why they hired me. Well, no, maybe he did take the head off Yeah, I was working with, and he's like, I don't know why they hired me. I'm wearing this head the whole time, and I'm on this thing. What's the point? They can't see me. They could have just had, like, somebody else with his head on.
That's what's amazing about being a faceless DJ like that. Follow
hire the guy.
So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the DJ Marshmallow, Kurt, or less. Yeah. But no, Marshmallow, he's pretty big right now, and he has this giant marshmallow head. And I follow him on Instagram, and it's amazing because it's all like every other Instagram influencer photo, like where everything looks like really well posed, and it's like always a perfect photo, but he's wearing the head in every shot.
Yeah.
He always has to wear it. It's like the unknown comic.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
From the old Gong Show. Yeah. Okay.
So Jack Hay is very happy because Jane is engaged. And then they're going to Paris on their honeymoon.
Ooh. Oh, is it still that free trip?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be. Nobody went. Okay, good.
And then Drusilla actually comes over to Lizzie's house. And she's not happy. And
not when she's in that house.
And then Drusilla
she's furiously like ringing the doorbell like early in the morning before anyone's
she's beating
awake.
On the door.
It was rude.
She's like totally beating on her door. And then
open this slum.
She kind of lets herself in too.
Right. And then she's telling her off and she says that JK is on the cusp of being a clown, and I did not appreciate that.
Oh yeah, she did say that. I wrote that down. Your mother is on the cusp of clown.
Like, how dare you say that about JK?
Because they're saying about that about JK.
Seriously. Then she threatens to blackmail Lizzie.
With what?
And with getting her dad like fired from his minister job or whatever.
Yeah.
She's saying that Lizzie's gonna mess up Will's trajectory, and yeah, she threatens the dad's job as a preacher.
And so she goes and she talks to the dad, and he's like, "Well, do you love him?" And she's like, "Tell." She's like, "Yeah," and he's like, "You need to tell him, and I'm not afraid of this bitch."
Basically. And this was a good line. Dad says, "Are you going to let your pride get in the way of a lifetime of happiness?" Is that from the book?
Something like something similar. Right. Then he tells her that about his side of failing the bar exam, and he said he failed the bar exam and he was ashamed, so he was going to dump Cheke. Because he was ashamed. But, yeah, and then that's where that line came. His uncle told him that. Mm-hmm. And that, like, changed his... And he went and married JK. So then, of course, JK was eavesdropping. And so then she's touched mm-hmm. that he said that. And, you know, she's crying. And did she tell him to call Darcy or someone? She's like, "You better call Darcy and get JK."
She tells him to do that, yeah.
So then Darcy shows up, and he yells at Drusilla. And then Lizzie and Darcy make up. And then there's a double wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Jane and Charles and Lizzie and Darcy.
It reminded me of the Brady Brides.
Right?
Well, that's right. Sure they stay money too.
Reginald Bell Johnson's like, "I gotta pay for this crap. You guys are both married at once." He's like, "I've got five daughters."
He gets the church for free.
That's true.
You don't have to rent that.
Five
Still,
daughters.
Exception.
And also, Darcy can afford to pay for the freaking wedding.
That's true.
But
I didn't think about that.
That's tradition.
And the other guy was like
a
famous golfer. He could afford it too.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I guess then we could look at it as time management.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Listen, I got five daughters.
These people are busy.
I got five daughters and they're all close in age. So, you know, let's just gun out two at once."
Yeah.
And that was it.
You know those Brady people? They're not finished with these people. They're now on some home decorating.
They remodeled
it. It was on last night.
It did very well. It was the biggest premiere for HGTV in like 5 years or something. It did really well. I used to live right
Those
around
people.
The corner from that house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And when I first moved in, this is, you know, early 2000s. When I first moved in, I walked around the corner to get a photo of the houses and my friends back home. And I've got my, what was then an extraordinarily big 1 megapixel camera. And I walk up and there's all these people outside and I see like crews and stuff. And I'm like, "What?" There's people like standing by watching. I'm like, "What's going on here?" And this woman says, "Oh, Peter Brady is shooting something for the Travel Channel." So I got my photo with Peter in front of the house.
Oh, that's perfect. And your friends are all like, "Oh, my God."
Yeah.
That's cool.
But they remodeled the house because the set that you see on the TV show is a completely different setup than the way the actual exterior of the house would allow. Like, the Brady Bunch home in the show is two stories. That's a one-story home. So they had to actually build another story to remodel this house to, like, restore it so it's like the show.
Right.
Yeah.
The kids, they aged pretty well, the kids.
Most of them.
Yeah. Peter looked good.
Peter always looked good. Bobby. Bobby actually is the youngest boy and looks older than Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's quite the cottage industry. And I don't know. I guess it's a mix. There's a lot of nostalgia there that just carries over. But it's like, it's one of those things. It's probably one of the most popular shows of all time. It has to be.
And they didn't get, they only got so many residuals.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's just no show that has this. I don't think there's any show that has this. Dang power is that show. It just
in terms of constantly coming back in new incarnations, for sure. Yeah,
I agree.
Well, and in terms of awareness, like, just so many people, like, people in our age range, I don't think there's anybody who isn't aware of this show.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about the number of actual television series it spawned with largely the same cast. You had the Brady Bunch.
Brady Bride.
You had the Brady Kids, which was the cartoon. Mm-hmm. You had the Brady Bunch Variety Hour, which was amazing.
With Fake Jan.
With Fake Jan, who I'm friends with on Facebook. You had the Brady Brides. Then in the early 90s, you had the Bradys, the hour-long dramedy that they did.
Yes. Yeah, it was like a soap opera.
Where Marcia became an alcoholic and cured her alcoholism in one episode. And
what's her name? That MTV VJ was on there. Marcia, what's her name?
Martha Quinn. That's right. She was on there.
Martha Quinn. Martha Quinn. She married Peter, I think. Or married Bobby, like that. Married one of them.
Yeah. She was with Peter. Yeah, I don't remember which one it was. It was Peter or Bobby. And then you have this HGTV show. So that single show spawned a total of six series with the same cast. And then you had the movies as well. There was the stage show that I saw. It was a musical.
And then, like, some of them did well. Like, Eve Plum became, like, a serious Emmy Award-winning actress.
What did that mean? She's in stuff, yeah.
Yeah, she was Dawn, Portrait of a Teenage Runaway.
Oh, okay, good.
Susan Olsen more successful. Had gone on to host a radio show at one point.
And then Marcia was on Passions as Gwen Hotchkiss.
I once accosted Marie McCormick in the bathroom of Revolver. I gave up.
What did you say to her?
Well, it was like my birthday weekend, and she was there. And it's like this shared staircase down to the bathrooms, Kurt. And so I was like, I see her. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, you don't have to do it here, but can we please get a photo when you get back upstairs? And she reluctantly said yes.
It?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool that she's nice, because you never know. Mm-hmm. It could be like, you know, it could go either way.
Wow.
But if you're in Revolver,
a more successful show. Mm-hmm. What's a more successful show? Brady Bunch. The Simpsons,
Lucy, maybe.
I think Brady Bunch is more.
Well, define more success.
There's more awareness.
Define success.
A show that in pop culture. It's a show that has made such an impact on pop culture. That's what I would say. That's how I'm defining success by.
Simpsons is pretty high up there, too. I mean, it's been on for 30 years.
Yeah, because isn't that the longest running show of all time?
Longest running scripted show, yeah.
It's a tight race.
Yeah.
The Simpsons and the Brady Bunch.
I mean, it helped establish the Fox Network. It helped establish a style of comedy, which kind of permeates today.
And just think, The Simpsons was a spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was on Tracy Ullman.
Yep.
They were on Tracy Ullman. So.
I'm sorry, Les. I interrupted you when you were talking about that bar. What were you saying?
About Revolver.
Revolver. Oh, yeah. If you go to Revolver, you've got to kind of be ready for, you know.
Oh, yeah. I've accosted a few celebrities there.
Especially if you go to the Revolver bathroom, because it's like tight quarters.
She was the only one I accosted in the bathroom. The others I did upstairs in the main area.
That's funny. And then Revolver, and then Kurt, like on the weekend, Revolver, because they call it Revolver because there's literally, you go through a revolving door to get in there. And it's, and weekends, it's very popular and very packed.
It's a small space.
Very packed. With go-go dancers. And so, yeah, so if you go to Revolver, you got to kind of be ready to, you know, get accosted.
I don't mind it.
I'll be stopping by there.
If you don't want to get accosted, go to the Abbey.
Oh, you can totally get accosted at the Abbey, too.
That's true.
What are these like?
Oh, yeah, because my friend accosted Alan Cumming at the Abbey.
Oh.
Wait, who?
What's your question, Kurt?
What do you mean by accosting? Because I'm agreeing to this. I'm not sure what this is.
Like groped.
Oh,
groped or aggressively hit on.
Right.
Or like I didn't grope. I should rephrase that. Maybe not groped, but just sort of like I sort of like what I was like right up in her face. So I'm like, can I please get a photo?
Right. Like you got to be ready to like talk.
You got to move. Make your move.
Yeah. Because they're gonna come and talk to you. So yeah, like with Alan Cumming, my friend didn't grow up Alan Cumming, but he had a long conversation with Alan Cumming and Revolver, you know. So if you don't want to get, you know, if you don't want people in your face, stay at home.
That's our celebrity advice.
Stay at home. It's true, especially you're in a room full of like. It depends on what time of night it is, but at a certain point of night. You'd be in a room with a bunch of drunk people, so you better be ready.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't think I was sober when I went up to Marine. It was my birthday weekend, and if I recall, I had a really. It was actually the day after my birthday, and I had a really, really, really terrible birthday. Like a lot of bad things happened on that day. So the next day, I was like, I'm going out and I'm drinking my day away.
Right. I gotta make up for this shit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that worked out then.
Anyway, gentlemen, I did not pick a Hallmark movie, so I will get a hold of you during the week.
Okay.
Because I'm like a zombie right now. Because what is it like? Okay. One or two in the morning.
It's almost two in the morning for you. Yeah.
It's 10:53.
No, it's almost midnight for you. Less. Almost.
So it's midnight.
Yeah.
So if you want to get a hold of us, you can find me, Les Kirkendall Barrett. You can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett or on Instagram at Kirkendall, or you could go to our Facebook page, A Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast, and our Instagram, Lifetime of Hallmark. Did I get it right?
You did, yeah.
Oh. Yay. And Jason?
Please rate us 5 stars on whatever podcast app you listen to us through, be that Apple or Podbean. Where else are we?
Spotify. Apple Podbean.
Okay, yeah, so 5 stars, please. And you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt?
I'd like to congratulate the film Working Girl. I saw it on HBO recently. It's held up. I'm going to be in Europe, and we have a lot of European fans. Ooh. So anybody wants to go on, look up Kurt Fitzpatrick on Facebook, send me a message. I might meet up with you and do like a meet and greet or shake hands. Or if you have any questions about our show, I might be willing to do that. And that's it.
And just so you know, don't forget, we're always open to listener movie suggestions. The movie we talked about tonight was suggested by a listener.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
So if you have movies you want us to watch and talk about, let us know. Oh, my God. Okay, you guys, get this. I saw a Fringe show at the Halifax Fringe, and it was based on a Hallmark movie. And the characters were named Holly and Mark. Okay. and they were fighting. Their plot was, do you know what Donaire is?
No.
No.
It's like a Halifax. It's like Donner. I think it's like Don. It's Donner. They call it Donaire. But it's like a kebab.
Donaire.
Okay.
They're like kebabs. So their plot was they were both in rival Donaire families.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So I actually talked to them. I'm like, you guys, I have a Hallmark podcast. So I thought that was cute, though, that they, like, you know, they're like
paying homage, you know, our to shows, a Hallmark movie.
Yeah. And I was like, what? And they're like, don't make fun of us. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
That's awesome.
The opposite.
There's a podcast that I listen to called An Acquired Taste Podcast. And a few weeks ago, they were talking about Hallmark movies, and they were sort of pondering out loud, like, boy, has there ever been a gay one? And sort of on the spot, they came up with a Hallmark movie called A Lesbian for Christmas.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah.
I would too.
The one thing that cracks me up, though, and I have to, like, correct people all the time, is the first time, like, you know, Hallmark had a reputation for not being very diverse. But, like, over the past couple of years, they've gotten a lot better. A lot.
Right.
But that's the one. The bar was set very low. Like, saying right. They got a lot better, this is kind of an extreme example, but it's like saying that the KKK let in a member with dark hair. Like, it's, you know, it's...
Well, and what I mean by that is, like, now...
How do we
it's like,
know?
You know, when they have people of color, they're not only secondary... Because there was a while they would have them, and they were secondary characters, and now they have movies starring people of color, and you can tell that they're actually making an effort...
Mm-hmm.
To do that.
Yeah.
So I, you know, so that's the one thing that I get shit about sometimes is they're like, wait, but you're an African American. Like, and I'm like, well, but it was like that. And also, it was like that before I started doing this podcast as well. It was kind of weird. Like, around the time that we started this podcast was when they started to diversify.
Yeah.
And it wasn't planned that way. It just kind of happened. So I find that interesting.
You know what? Sometimes when you have a reputation for one thing, it takes a little while to change that perception.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And Lifetime has no problems.
No.
They're like, we have diversified trash of all kinds. Mm-hmm.
They do.
We do not care. Anyway, guys, I'm going to go so I can go to bed.
All right.
Plus, my husband just got home, and this is my first time seeing him since I've been back, because he wasn't at home when I got home this morning. So
ooh.
I got to go.
Oh.
Okay.
I gotta go. All right. So I will talk to you next week. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.